Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of John in the 16th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. May God bless this reading of his holy word. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, open our minds, our hearts, and our souls up, and may what is said, heard, and understood this day be pleasing to you, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today is called Trinity Sunday, and it is always after Pentecost Sunday. And on this day is the day that we take and acknowledge and to celebrate the mystery of the triune God. That being God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, whatever you prefer. And unlike other special days on the Christian calendar, today focuses not on a particular event, but on a doctrine of the church. It's a day of adoration and of praise of the one eternal, incomprehensible God. And it is also probably the most illogical day in the Christian year. I'm 55 years old. Actually, I'm 55 and a half years old. I'll be 56 in December. And I consider myself to have been a Christian for 45 some odd years. And even in that time, I still cannot wrap my brain around this concept of God being three in one, one in three. It just doesn't make sense. How can you have one thing that is also three things? Just doesn't add up to my brain. I mean, it hurts sometimes when I think about it. You know, it hurts my brain because I cannot take and figure it out. But it's one of those things that I have just decided that I am going to take on absolute blind faith. And just faith that it is the truth. Today, we acknowledge the nature of God that we have been celebrating since the beginning of Advent. During Christmas, Advent, and Epiphany, we celebrate God taking flesh, becoming human, coming and dwelling amongst us in Jesus Christ. Easter we take and we celebrate his death and his resurrection and how through that we have salvation, we have atonement for our sins. And last week we celebrated Pentecost, which is the story of the Holy Spirit coming down and rushing through the house where the disciples and the believers were, burning out all of the weeds and the brush, creating fertile soil and popping the seeds of faith that took and grew and became the church as we know it today. This triune God combines the notions of God the Creator, God the Savior, and God the God and Comforter. And sometimes we call this the Godhead. And in the Godhead, God the Father and God the Son, they're fairly straightforward concepts that are relatively easy to understand. We have God the Father, who set creation in motion, who said, "Let there be light." And then that little ball of matter, you know, the Big Bang happened. That's my view on that. God created all the majestic animals that we see here on the earth, like the horse, the deer, the swan, and the lion. And he also created some of the goofiest animals ever, like the giraffe, the platypus, and the baboon. What? Okay. All right. We'll throw people into being goofy. And God decided that the value of pi is to 18 decimal places 3.1415926535897932238. And he decided that the circumference of a circle can be calculated as 2 times pi times the circle's radius. God the Creator set everything in motion. Not only the planets and the stars, he set in motion how everything was going to work. And in my opinion, if you can't look at nature and see how everything kind of fits together and you don't say, there's got to be a God, then I think there's something wrong with you. Then we have God the Son, and this was God become flesh, who came to show us a better way to live. He came, God the Son came to be the Lamb that brings salvation to the nations, and he came to be our Redeemer and our Savior. So what the heck is the Holy Spirit? I mean, In my head, I have a vision, and this is just me. I have a vision of God, you know, being this older gentleman with long white hair, long white beard, you know, presiding over everything in a loving, strict way. I have a vision of Jesus, kind of like that, long hair, beard. I'm not going to say that he was white Jesus. I think he was more brown, but I don't think the color of his skin really matters. But how the heck do you visualize the Holy Spirit? It's just abstract. Now, First off, I want to mention that I think it's important to recognize that this Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has always been there. Jesus Christ, the Son, didn't just suddenly appear when Mary got pregnant. The Holy Spirit just didn't come to existence when it blew through the house like a wind. That the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have been there from the beginning and has been doing the will of God. If you look in Genesis, it said that the Spirit of God came over the void. And I would venture a guess to say that that was God, the Holy Spirit. We have many accounts in the Old Testament of God speaking to human beings. The first recorded one is in the Garden of Eden, when God came down and walked in the garden in the coolness of the evening and couldn't find Adam and Eve and called them out. That is, to me, the Holy Spirit. When you've got God talking to Moses via the burning bush, it's the Spirit of God. When you have God coming and speaking with the prophets, saying, go out and tell Israel what bad boys and girls that they are and how their father is displeased with them, that was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the way that God manifests himself to us. And like I said, the Spirit has been there from the very beginning. The Son has been there from the very beginning. And our scripture lesson for today, it's part of a larger section of scripture called the work of the Spirit, where Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's coming to the end of his ministry. And again, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And when the Spirit comes, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So God is speaking. He has spoken many truths. Excuse me. He has spoken many truths during his 3 years of ministry on earth. And for only having a pastorate of 3 years, he stuck a lot of stuff in there that to a certain extent we are still unpacking today. He only had a certain period of time, and you can only do so much. And he says, I still have many things to say to you, but he knows he's not going to get a chance while he is still here on earth. The other thing that Jesus makes reference here is that it is not the time for certain truths to be revealed. You know, we talk about, farmers. We know a lot of farmers, probably, if we're not, have been worked on a farm or are a farmer. And we know that a farmer will not plant a crop until the conditions are ripe. You don't see farmers out plowing the fields in December with snow on the ground and planting. There ain't nothing going to happen. It's when the weather starts getting better, more favorable to the conditions of growth, that the farmer will go out and till his field, that he will fertilize it with various things, that he will make sure that the field is ready to accept the seed of what he is going to grow. And like that farmer, in our lives, in our human lives, and over our human existence, we have had to take and wait until the ground is ready for truths to be revealed. Sometimes we need to wrestle with Scripture. We need to wrestle with things that Jesus has said, that the Bible has said, that we need to wrestle with them to try to understand those better. And when we get to the point that is right, I believe that a new message can be found in the Scripture. And the Bible, I know a lot of us have read the Bible. I haven't read it cover to cover. I will admit that. I know that people have. But I do know that if you look at the Bible, that it is a general roadmap for life, and it does not get in as specific as sometimes God needs it to be. For example, the Bible doesn't say, Timothy Moore, on Sunday, June the 12th, 2022, at 5:14 p.m., you will be in aisle B4 of the Fairlawn Walmart, and you shall meet a frustrated mother with an 11-year-old daughter in the cart and a 2-year-old son that is running around, touching everything, getting stuff off of the shelves, and being an annoyance to their mother. I want you to give the mother encouragement that her children are not the rowdy, trouble-making imps that she thinks that they are, but they are normal kids acting like normal kids. And you shall speak to her for exactly 33.5 seconds. No more, no less. Has anybody ever found passage in the Bible along that lines? No. And you won't. Because we all who follow Jesus, we are used in the way that God wants us to be used. And the way that he tells us how he uses us is to, many times, to just gently nudge us. Nudge us to remember that we need to pick something up from Walmart. And when we get there, that we need to go to aisle B4. And that we get there at exactly 5:14 p.m. And then whispers in our ear, when we see that frustrated mother, whispers in our ears, I want you to say something to her. You see the frustration of a new mother. You've been a new dad. you understand what it's like to be in that particular situation. Go and do. And that, to me, is one of the coolest things. That God would take a goofy person, such as myself, and like Brother Tim, because we're goofy, we're probably the two goofiest people in here, that he would take us and he would use us like that. And it's all because of the Holy Spirit. Now, not only do we, if you will, get our marching orders via the Holy Spirit, but we also get truth revealed to us when we are reading Scripture. How many of you have ever reread a passage of Scripture and it has hit you in a different way? So now you got two ways of looking at that scripture. Which one is right? Yes. Whoop. Hold on a pulpit. When the time is right, God reveals more truths. And Jesus tells us that the Spirit of truth speaks not on its own, but it speaks for God. Which again, my mind explodes. You know, God is telling God to tell me to do something, or to reveal a truth, or to remind me in my grief of the love of God, of the salvation of God. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. It is a very, very challenging concept, the Trinity. Again, how can God be three people but also be one people? I wish I had a definitive answer, but I can't, my friends. All that I can tell you is that we need to have our ears open, that we need to be aware of the shoulder tap that we get from time to time. And it's not a big shoulder tap, it's usually a light one. And it's not always a loud voice that talks to us, but is a still small voice. We need to be open that when the Spirit of God comes to tell us the truth of God, the will of God, we need to be ready to listen. And we need to be ready and willing to do as we are asked, can't say it, to do. Amen.